Good morning. A few things I want to share before starting. Thanks for the Bible study. I don't think I'm able to share everything that's in my heart. Most of you were probably here. It's over a year ago there was a message preached here that I really appreciate it. I wasn't even here. I just found it on the website. It's called God's Sovereignty, and I really recommend the message, even if you were here, because it was a long message, and you might not have got everything. But that's one message I would really recommend. And a few things that are real to me right now. Just that God is faithful. And along with, you know, God's sovereignty, like God is faithful. And right now I really like this verse in John chapter 4, verse 34. I'm going to read a few more verses, but verse 34 really, I really like it. It's a challenge. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, "Master, eat." But he said unto them, "I have meat to eat that ye know not of." Therefore said the disciples one to another, "Hath any man brought him aught to eat?" Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors." I just find that a challenge. You're supposed to live like Jesus does, and his meat, if you think, it's a bit weird maybe, but if you think about eating, I'll invite you to my house for a meal, and I'll serve you Christmas cookies and applesauce, and you know, so you're kind of there, and it doesn't really feel like a meal. It doesn't feel like a meal until you have the meat. You know, you have rice and chicken, or you have potatoes and beef, or it's not really a meal unless you have meat. I take it to say that Jesus finds satisfaction to do the will. He finds satisfaction in doing the will of him that sent me, talking about himself, and to finish his work. That's what satisfies Jesus. And to live like him, isn't that what we want to reach for, and to do the will of him that sent Jesus, join in that with Jesus with that, and find satisfaction in that. Just like to share, I'd like to share on salvation today. We could call it the salvation message. So I'd like to pray, and let's continue. I'd like to admonish as a church, and I'm seeing prayers answered. And please continue to pray for those that struggle, that let's not give up hope. And please continue to pray. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your provisions for us, and we pray that today you would be over the message, Lord, and you would share the message that you have for us, and we commit it to you. We thank you for your word and the life that you offer us. We just pray for each one here to be blessed according to your ministering. In Jesus' name, amen. So we'll start in Genesis. Chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and he created everything. In verse 26 to 31, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Just like to pause there for a little bit. Looking at how it's worded there, I've come across a mistaken view that men are created in the image of God and ladies are not created in the image of God. And I don't believe that. And the way it's worded here, I guess if you pick it apart, God created him in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. That to me says that them is also in the image of God. There's also in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians 11, it says a man should not cover his head to pray because he is the image of God. And when God made us in his likeness, and in the setting of, he's talking about an order of things there, and the man is taking in the order, is representing, is in the likeness of God, in the sense that in the order of things, it's not saying that the woman is not in the likeness of God. It is saying that in this order of things, the man is in the likeness of God. And so, however you look at that, I don't really matter more than that the message is the same for the men and the women for salvation. And we will agree on that. So God created us in his image, and he gave us dominion over all the animals. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Just more detailed account of the creation of man that I enjoy. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's just the creation account, and there's also the account in verses chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. Of the creation of the woman. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. How many of you women think of yourself as a helpmeet? I've heard that term and I smile because of the... it's something that we all can do with this language here. The King James language speaks differently. If you think of yourself as a helpmeet, I just want to give you a little lift here. What it's saying is he created a helpmeet for Adam. Meet means suitable or fitting or whatever. So you are created as a help that is fitting. You're not a help meet. Just fix that if it's not in your mind that way. Where was I reading? Verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And God took one of the ribs of Adam and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. In that point of creation, they were created in the image of God. They were perfect. There's a significance in the fact that they were both naked and were not ashamed that I don't fully understand, but I believe it is because they had no fault. They had no sin. There was no shame in the human being at that point. And so that's all I can get out of there. There might be more in it, but that's all I get out of it. In verses 16 and 17, I had marked as important. So let's go back there. Okay, verses 16 and 17 was the command that God had given, and he said this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So that was the command. And we know the story, but we're going to go through it anyhow. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 24. "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree wherefore I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom ye gave to me with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, above Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and eat also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. That's the account of the fall of man. And it's important in consideration of salvation, I think, to look at that. God said that if the man will eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he will surely die. In the day, he said, that you eat of the fruit, you will surely die. Adam ate of that fruit. How many of you believe that in the day Adam ate the fruit, he died? I've had a hard time with that. I've had a hard time with that because he didn't roll over and die. But in understanding this, we understand how God made us in his own image. And there's a verse I'm going to go to just to show us the three different aspects of how we are created, of what we are. It's in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's what I feel we need to see and recognize to understand that Adam died the day that he ate of the fruit. His soul, some people make pictures. I'm just going to use my own body. Do you see my soul? And yet, if my soul would not be there, my body would look different. Right? You'd be looking at a dead man. So this body would look somewhat the same, recognizable, but the soul would not be there. There's nothing there. So in my body there's a soul, and in my soul there's a spirit. When my soul and my spirit, or maybe we should say when I die, I'm not sure which way, but when my body is without soul and spirit, there's nothing in it anymore. Adam's soul stayed in him. The spirit that was in his soul died on that day. The spirit that was in his soul died, but the soul stayed in his body. So there was now death in himself. And Adam and Eve both experienced it. Both were now living a physical life with a soul that had a dead spirit in them. And eventually, too, the body did, through that, die and returns to the dust. There's many different ways that happens. Some people are buried. Some people are incinerated or cremated. Either way, it doesn't really make much difference. When we die, our body doesn't stay. It goes to dust. It doesn't make much difference which way that all happens. And so the death was a spiritual death, and now immediately they were affected by it. Now they hid themselves when God came. Now they were separated from God. And they couldn't no longer fellowship with him in the way that they had before. They hid themselves, and God had, must have broke his heart. But he did have a plan, but it is painful. I'm going to read in Isaiah 51, verses 6 to 8. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, And the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. For the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. There's hope starting to be spoken into this hopeless situation of separation from God. And it's only because of God's love and God's mercy that any person, small and great alike, have any hope. And for us, it's not about making our way, it's about finding the way. That's the important thing when we're looking at the Bible or any. We're not making something, we're finding. We're discovering truth. We can't make a truth by deciding something. The truth is there, and we find that. I'm going to flip over to Isaiah 53. I'm going to read the whole chapter. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground, He hath no form, nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisements of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare this generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Talking about Jesus in Isaiah 53, I believe. And that's our hope. That is our hope in this otherwise hopeless situation that we would have been left with. I'm going to flip to the New Testament now in Luke 26, verse 38. Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. Story that we're hopefully familiar with again, but it doesn't get old. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast foremost of those things which were... Sorry, I'm missing a page here. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, like... That's where I was going to stop. So Jesus was born like us. He was born like us into this world according to the flesh. However, he was not the son of a man. He was the Son of God. And this is something that made it possible. And when I look at our condition now, after Adam and Eve sinned, Adam and Eve in the flesh had suffered spiritual death. And their soul was now inhabited by a dead spirit. And all the flesh has suffered from that happening. Everybody has been, if we would have our genealogies, we'd all eventually go back to Adam and Eve. Our greatest grandfather would be Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had children together, and as you know, maybe you don't know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed couples have blonde-haired, blue-eyed children. They do not have the genetics in themselves to reproduce anything else. Other people, there's less information, genetic information in blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. I'm blonde-haired, blue-eyed, so I'm allowed to talk. But brown-eyed couples could possibly have a blue-eyed child. Having blue eyes has less genetic information than brown eyes. Anyway, my point is here that once they lost something, once they had lost this, they could not reproduce it. So Adam and Eve had lost their spiritual life, and now according to the flesh, they could not reproduce spiritual life. That means that their children were born with a body and a soul and a dead spirit. Jesus was different. Jesus' father was God, whose spirit was alive. Jesus was born into this world with a body, a soul, and a living spirit. And that is how Jesus was able to make the way for us. He was able to give us that life. The flesh gives birth to flesh, he says, in one place. Right? So I'm not saying Adam and Eve burn in hell today. God is eternal, and God has made a way for all people, I believe, through Jesus to receive life again. But according to the flesh, what was left of the flesh, there's no spiritual life. Flesh gives birth to flesh. And so Adam and Eve reproduced, even if they were, let's say, born again. I don't know if that was a term they used in that day and age, but we'll assume they did. Even if they were saved, they no longer had in their genetics, according to the flesh, the way human beings are reproduced, they no longer had it to reproduce a living, spiritually alive baby. And so now, all flesh, all of us are in that genealogy. Jesus was directly from God again. Jesus was directly from God. He had that spiritual life in him. That's how he was able to take our sins upon himself and take care of them and still offer us that life. And we can have that today by believing. I think I would like to get back to the scriptures, because that is really where the word, that is really where we find what we need. In John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man. Nobody. We have to insist on this. There's so many different religions. There's only one way that we can come to the Father. That's through Jesus Christ. And there's a lot of details, but let's get this straight. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's the way to follow. Sometimes we want to make our own way. We're like, yeah, Jesus saved us and all, but we have to do things this way or whatever. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And life, that's the big one there. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He had life in himself. He had life that we need to come or to be with the Father. In Revelations chapter 8, I'm jumping around in scriptures, but chapter 20, verse 14. I'm going to read a bit more than verse 14, but verse 14 is the highlight. Revelations chapter 20, verse 14, I'm going to start reading in verse 11. And I saw, this is a vision of John, in case you don't read Revelations because you're scared of it, I don't blame you. But it's a vision of John, and I believe it's a vision, eternal vision. But right here, I believe he's at the point of the end of time and judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Take some note there, that the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay, so we have these books that people are judged out of, and we have the book that our name needs to be written in to be not experience the second death. Being cast into the lake of fire. is the second death. And those that are written in the book of life will not experience the second death. They will have life everlasting. It's very, very important to have our name written in the book of life. And the way has been made through Jesus to do that. Revelation, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 21. If I can find it. Second Corinthians 5, verse 16 to 21. Wherefore, and I actually encourage you, if you have another translation, to read it in another translation. I'm not going to, just for time. I'm reading King James. But wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For, and this is the verse to get hold of, he hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, Jesus knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, so when we get born again, that's when we enter into Christ Jesus. And baptism is another word for baptism is immersion. Immersion. Can you picture that? I'll walk into this, make this a building. I'll walk into it. I'm in it. We enter in to Christ Jesus. And the outward baptism is supposed to signify that we enter into Christ Jesus. We're immersed into Christ Jesus. And that's our only righteousness, is Jesus Christ's righteousness. Because he became sin, that the punishment, the wages of sin is death. God's way to deal with sin is death. And we read in Revelations that death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. We need more. We can't just not have this thing happening to us. It must happen. If nothing happens, we have death in ourselves. It has to happen that we get born again. And when I say born again, I mean flesh. You were born in the flesh. You need to be born again to be born in the spirit. John 5, verse 24 to 49. Verily, verily, sometimes some translations say, I tell you the truth, when they say, King James uses verily, verily, strange term for us. Verily, verily, Jared, I tell you the truth. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. This is Jesus talking. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. Who sent Jesus? God the Father, right? Believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I tell you the truth, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have the life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Marvel not at this. Don't be amazed or believe it. It's true. Don't question it. Don't question this. For the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Yet ye send unto John, and he bear witness of the truth. We didn't talk about John the Baptist, but he's talking about John the Baptist here. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. This is Jesus. This is what Jesus came for, is that we could be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, John the Baptist. And ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor from one another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? I said to verse 49, and I ran out at verse 47. Must have been a misprint. He's pleading with people to believe in him. It's the only way to have life, is that they believe in him, and they... The generation that Jesus lived in, a lot of the people didn't believe in him. And the generation we live in, a lot of the people don't believe in him. We should be also pleading with people, pleading with each other to believe in Jesus. Because he has the life that he will give us and will receive life. John chapter 3, 1 to 21. An important scripture, the basically talking about getting born again. John chapter 3, 1 to 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I tell you the truth. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and they are wrought in God. I like to also read in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I don't know how else to share the truth than to share the truth. Can't make excuses. If you can't believe in Jesus, I don't have anything to say. If you believe in Jesus, Jesus has told you that you have everlasting life. So, the importance of getting born again is the difference between life and death. And if you're like me, you don't know how can these things be? Nicodemus didn't know. But it's a work of God. And we can believe God. God created the heavens and the earth. He created us. And we can believe him to do this work. Try to get yourself born. Take a baby in the womb. And the baby decides, it's time for me to get born. I'm getting born. Mama says no. Who's winning here? Baby can't be born by herself. Right? You can't be born by yourself. It's a work of God. And when Jesus was hanging on the cross, with all your sins, all my sins, all the sins of the whole world on himself, he was dealing with that sin. He was in, I compare it to a mother in labor with her children. He was giving birth. He was suffering, intense suffering. And God the Father was suffering, intense suffering. It's like the father, if you're with your wife and she's giving birth, and I can only imagine how you suffer. God was suffering that same way. And Jesus was giving birth to the world. Right? It was his work. Our part is to believe. Okay? I had a long struggle with this. I'm going to go to Galatians 5, verse 16 to 21. I had a long struggle with, me personally, I didn't have this one day I responded at the altar call and I wept and all my sins were forgiven. I actually don't have a specific experience that I refer to that I got born again. I was taught the word from a young age. I shared in the last message about my fears and how the Lord Jesus was introduced to me. I'm never alone. And so I've been praying since a young age. There was a time in my life that I was involved in partying and drinking, that kind of life. And there was a time in my life where I just lost the hunger and desire for that. And so I can't, you know, come to a certain day. And so I have questioned, have I been born again? Have I been born again? I hear testimonies, and I love hearing testimonies. And so mine, you know, I believe, and I believe God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read his word, and I say that it says, everyone that believes on him has everlasting life. That's all I have. I don't have an experience to share with you. I have experience to share with you. There was time when I began, my desires began to change, and I just didn't desire this. There's just nothing in sitting around in a driving shed with beer and fogging up your mind and just kind of, there's just, it's depressing. And I lost all desire for that kind of life. There was a short time I enjoyed that life. I enjoyed that. A lot of you, and I hope you don't have had these experiences, but when you drink alcohol, it affects your mind, and you can go either, you kind of lose control. And if you're not happy, maybe you'll feel happy when you do that. We use the term jolly. We'd get jolly on alcohol. The real world, you make yourself all foggy and you don't function properly. And it's sort of an escape from the real world, because the real world is not nice. It's a cruel world. So this escape, and you drink and make yourself jolly, and then you can be all happy or whatever. But it's like temporary, yeah. Yeah, it's temporary, and it just doesn't fulfill. So, praise God. I could have, you know, kept going and going and going. I give credit to prayers, and I don't know. Glory to God that I'm not a drunk today. Because I did give myself to that kind of life for a time and embraced it. You know, I pursued it. But God rescued me, and I thank him for that. But with that clear experience not having been my experience, and also having been taught in the church that I grew up in that you never know if you're saved. You hope that you're saved, but it would be considered arrogant to say that you've been saved. There's a reason for that that I guess I'll explain. Some people were arrogant that did that and made arrogant statements and expressed arrogance on one side, and another side reacted to that and said that it's arrogant to say that you're saved. And so you can't say that you're saved. You can't know that you're saved. You believe in Jesus and you hope that you're saved. Well, that's not really trusting Jesus. When Jesus saved you, and you trust Jesus, you know you're saved. Because he said you're saved. So there was a reaction thing there. And so I was kind of on this thing, well, yeah, it's, I actually felt, I didn't feel comfortable saying, well, I've been saved. I believe in Jesus. I've been saved from my sins. I have life. And so it was a long journey to get to the point where I knew that I have been saved and I have life. And one of those things was that I had life. You can't have life if you didn't get life. It's like, Brock, you know you're alive. You remember what day you were born? Right? I love when you know the day that you were born again. I'm not against that. I love that. But I can't make something up. I can't make something up. And I have been born again. Now, just today, well, I better get born again. Well, I have life. I have been born again. So, just the journey that I had and also the struggle I had because of sin. Sin in my life. And, oh, did that cause me to question, have I been born again? And why do I keep sinning? And it's not easy. And you always want to grow and get free from sin. Like, Jesus saved me and here I'm sinning. Have I been saved? I'm going to read in Galatians 5 verse 16 to 21. Verses that really helped me. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Remember, there's a different flesh and spirit, two different things. Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, I believe emulations would be jealousies, wrath, anger, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not enter the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. I guess to me it was just helpful. Also another thing that helped me to understand was just to recognize the difference of body, soul, and spirit, and how that living according to the flesh is, sin has affected our bodies. Sin has affected our bodies. And when we get born again and we receive that life, you know, we have that spirit of life in us, and then our flesh goes and sins. And that's the separation I couldn't make, that I was supposed to be perfect now. And it stumbled me. But the more I get hold of the reality of the Spirit and living in the Spirit, the more I want to say this, because it's important that we don't just, oh, well, you know, I'm in the flesh and so I sin. Yeah, well, everybody does, and everybody's in the flesh, and you know, you get tired of those. There's no life in those words, right? You sin because you are in the flesh, yes. But there's victory, and you've been so used to living body, soul, and dead spirit before you got born again. That's how you were living. And so you followed. The body basically does I look at the soul, and I don't really have reference to go to say that the body is the mind, will, and emotions. That's kind of how I look at the soul, or it is how I look at the soul. So the mind, will, and emotions actually direct your body, your flesh. And so what your soul, with your mind, you decide, I'm going to raise my hand. My body listened to my soul, and I raised my hand. My will chose to be here today, and so I drove my truck, came here. Okay, so you've been so used to living with a soul that does not have life in it. Life comes in, and you're still used to just going your way according to the flesh. And that is what you need to learn, is to live in the Spirit. Okay? Now you're overriding your soul with the Spirit of truth. Okay? So everything in you feels like getting jolly, having three beers and just letting hang loose. Been a hard day. Everything in you wants to do that. Override that with the Spirit. Those desires and those things are still kind of in your body and in your soul. And the more and more that you live in the Spirit, the more cleansing and the more, like, Alvin doesn't even want to smell alcohol. Right? There's nothing even in him that desires that. So the more you live in that Spirit, the more your desires also are changed. But we're on this earth until the point of the end of the world. And we're going to, in some way or another, be struggling with sin. But having that foundation, I've been born again. I'm the child of God, is an empowering factor, is the empowering factor to live above and to gain victory. And so I want to share that. One more verse reading I'd like to close with is in Isaiah 55. Verses 6 to 13. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void or empty, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be let forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. I think I'd like to leave off with that. Of course, sharing message, our purpose in preaching and sharing the word is to build each other up and also to lead, offer the life that Jesus is offering us to those who have not understood or experienced his life. And so, if you're sitting here today and it's convicting you, but you're not sure how to get born again, right? That's not something to be afraid to talk about. I'm going to encourage you to If you're understanding and you want to get be born again and baptized into the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, it would be a good thing to share that with us all. We'd be overjoyed to hear, and the angels in heaven would rejoice and sing and dance. But if you need to talk to someone more, all of us here want to be there to hear and finish, clarify things in your mind and to lead you to further truth. So I can say this with confidence. Whoever you feel comfortable with, come and talk to, feel free. God bless you.